he did some good things, man. It was good to see 43 out there. You know, he was really pumped up, and I saw him today, and I said, hey, feel good to be out there, and he just kind of gave a big grin and shook his head. So, you know, specifically, not only what he did in the run game, I know there's some things he'd want to get back. That interception, that's what good players do in critical moments of the game. Hats off to him. He battled back, you know, to play, and it was really cool to see, you know, him back on the field running the show.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich as the Bills prepare to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And we got a surprise here. One, to promote that he's out there with the people today. But two, well, you know what? Sometimes surprise guests are always a fun thing. Nate Geary joining us now here on the Wesser Hotline. First of all, Nate, where are you? Where's Waldo?
Okay, so it's 8580 Transit Road, Consumers Beverage. I don't know East Amherst that much. I'm a city boy and a South Towner, but it's a great location. We're here testing Heineken today, samplings. We got a whole GR table with t-shirts, a spin wheel, prize wheel, and some great prizes. If you want to come out, hang out, say hi, shop around. I've actually been walking through and giving some, you know, testimonials on most of the alcohol here.
Oh, good job, Nate. Are they?
Because you know me.
Are they paying you today?
I don't know. Maybe. If they are, it could be an alcohol. I would accept that.
All right, there you go, Nate. Of course, obviously, if I've got you for a moment here,
you do.
The Bills having themselves a bit of a slide. Of course, the vibes are a little bit down as from where they were before the end of September. What do they need to do here against New York to have themselves the best chance to stop this skid?
You know, Derek, I like to, you know me, I like to keep it simple. They got to play better. execution to me, but rewatched the last 2 weeks, specifically last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a lot of, especially the first half, offense was just not executing at a high enough level. And what I mean, I guess, is like as basic as blocking, picking up free rushers, throwing on target, getting open, just kind of some fundamental stuff that they did not execute at a high enough level. Now, I know, you know, this week has largely been a what's wrong with Josh Allen and, you know, what's going on with Joe Brady week. But, yeah, I think you can be in a place where you say that you probably need a little bit sharper of a game plan. You need to be able to move off of your game plan when it's not working, when you're Joe Brady. But it's tough as an offensive coordinator if the guys on the field aren't executing at a high level, and they just have not been executing at a high level the last 2 weeks.
Nate, of course, the one of the biggest things that I think has been my biggest gripe all throughout the season is the lack of use of Curtis Samuel as a standard wide receiver.
He's getting paid $8 million to be a receiver, and they're using him sort of like they used Isaiah McKenzie and Deontay Hardy. And it's definitely puzzling. And I think the most puzzling and fundamental puzzling thing about this is that he had his best season as a pro with this offensive coordinator. And I would say my biggest gripe with Curtis Samuel is not necessarily Curtis Samuel. It's how he's being used and how the offensive coordinator is utilizing him. So, I made him a primary, like a key to my parlay last week because I'm thinking his over-under was like 26.5 yards. I'm like, he should kill that because there's no Khalil Shakir in the lineup. They're going to likely need to throw the football, and they just did not find a way to get him open. And really, they're just not using him in, I think, standard ways you'd use a receiver. I think you said it well, right? That they're just not using him in situations where he's playing on the perimeter, playing out of the slot. There's snaps to be had out of the slot right now with no Khalil Shakir in the lineup. So, I think that's something I'm really going to be watching for this week is can they get him activated? Can they get him going in the offense? And can they find a role for him? Because it's not really just can they get him going this week. It's what is his role moving forward, and can that role expand and not be so, you know, I think, siloed into gadget player? Can he be the all-around receiver that they're definitely paying him to be?
Nate, I won't take much more of your time because, one, people will be able to hear your thoughts post-game on Monday night, but, two, let you get back out to it. Talk with the people
yeah.
and have fun out there at Consumers.
I shall. And again, we are at Consumers Beverage, 8580 Transit Road. We've got some Heineken sampling if you want to come out and try some of their new, they've got an NA product that they're testing out here. So there's a bunch of cool stuff. You come say hi. There's a YouTube TV quad box college football happening here as well. So I'm sort of in my heaven. So come by, stop by, say hi, and, you know, do the thing.
All right, Nate, have fun, and we'll talk to you soon enough.
Thanks, Derek. Talk soon.
All right, that's Nate Geary, surprise guest visit on the West Tura Hotline. As I mentioned, Nate will be on for you with your post-game on Monday night, and he is, of course, our Bills host, our de facto Bills host, so to say, on anything Sundays. He's here for pregame, and then he's here for postgame, and he's a menace. He's a menace that cannot be stopped, and I respect him for it. So what do the Bills need to do to get out of this? And I asked Nate a couple of these questions, but one of the big things for me is going to be this. Can the pass rush, that is, they're dealing with some things right now. Like, obviously, there's no Von Miller. There's no Ed Oliver. So they're dealing with a couple players missing. But they played respectably against Houston. Ended up causing a fumble that should have helped the Bills claw their way all the way back. Eventually, all they did was tie the game instead of getting the win. But the pass rush looks like it's still, at worst, solid. And against a bad Jets offensive line, solid should be good enough. You need to generate pressure, because one of the things that teams are also doing right now to the Jets that show there's no respect for this offensive line is they're blitzing the hell out of Aaron Rodgers. And that is something that oftentimes Rodgers would make you pay for in the past. But I don't know if it's him being off sync with the receivers in New York. I don't know if it's him not knowing the system well enough, but it's the same guy that he had, Nathaniel Hackett, that he's had within Green Bay at a couple points. So I don't know what it is. But at the same time, blitzing Aaron Rodgers has been a beneficial thing that teams have been able to do. So the Bills might be able to sneak a little bit of extra pressure in. We've seen Jamarcus Ingram or Cam Lewis make plays off the corner blitz this season. I'd expect them to try to sneak a little bit of that added pressure to try to help make things a little bit more uncomfortable for Aaron Rodgers. Because this is an important game for the Bills, too. We talk about how important the Sabres game is here to avoid going to 0-4. The Bills have an opportunity to put their foot down against the Jets, who are the only semi-credible threat to the Bills in the division right now. Because Buffalo has an opportunity to go two games up. That's a big deal. Two games up, have immediate tiebreaker, but here's the other key as to why it's kind of important. The next four games for the Bills are relatively winnable, and not at all like the gauntlet of a schedule that it was supposed to be on paper heading into the season. Because after New York, you have Tennessee, a game you should win. Seattle, a very inconsistent team that, quite frankly, it matches the Bills in that way of you don't know what team you're getting every week right now. Miami is garbage. Even with Tua, the Dolphins are handled by the Bills readily on a weekly basis. And then Indianapolis. The Colts are meh incarnate, I think. So the next four games are very much a group that you could take advantage of before you have Kansas City again. And then you go through the rest of your NFC gauntlet after that. And then you close the season with two games against New England. So suddenly, you get through this game, you win this game, you have two games up on the Jets, the head-to-head, the division record, tiebreaker, and the next four games are very winnable, you could suddenly turn the season around in a very positive manner. Especially with the defense starting to get healthy again. They're still waiting on Ed Oliver, but Taron Johnson might finally be back. Taylor Rapp is back from a concussion. Everyone seems to be coming back, getting healthy on the defensive side of the football. Now you just need Khalil Shakir, James Cook, get themselves back on the mend. And allow for Josh Allen to have a couple of guys that can move the chains on man situations. But my biggest gripe has absolutely at this point become, you signed Curtis Samuel to $8 million a year. And you are, as Nate just said, you're using him like you did Isaiah McKenzie or Deontay Hardy. You don't need to sign someone to that kind of contract if that's how you're going to use them. Hell, don't sign them if that's how you're going to use them at that price range, because that's what they're commanding. Use Curtis Samuel like a wide receiver, please. Get him in the progression sooner, as Bruce Nolan said in the first hour, because he is capable of getting open. Give Keon Coleman a little bit more of a more advanced route tree. Why? Because he is kind of proving right now amongst rookie wide receivers that he can cause some separation. He's actually got a better separation score right now than Xavier Worthy. Huh, neat. So there's a little bit of a scheme thing going on here with Joe Brady, because we never knew what he was going to bring to this offense, because last year he was using pieces of Ken Dorsey's. The one thing that they are consistently better with under Brady is running the football, helping take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen. But at some point, I need Allen to be able to be unleashed, allowed to go ahead and take over a football game again, and be able to dominate. Because here's the conversation that everyone was sick of, and the shoe is on the other foot. I'm sick of no interception Josh Allen. He's not as fun. Go bonkers, take a chance, regret a play or two. Because I never really cared about the interceptions. I never cared about the interceptions in context, because what's the alternative right now? Punting? That's worse. That's more boring even. Yeah, bad pick and end up in a disadvantageous situation, but when you unleash Josh Allen, what comes with those interceptions? Oh, you know, near MVP level play. And yeah, through the first three games, we were all kind of selling ourselves on that, but we forgot that Arizona, Miami, and Jacksonville are bad. And even against Miami, Allen didn't have to do anything. Jacksonville, he did everything. But this would be a great time against one of the best passing defense that there is in the National Football League. Take your chance. Go after it. Get aggressive. Why? Because you know that you can beat the New York Jets offense. You can do it. Even with the lack of talent, the lack of separators in man coverage schemes, you know what you do have? A big wide receiver that can win those contested catches for you. Or at least give you a shot to. He's proven that he can in Keon Coleman. Use that size, use that advantage. At the very least, try to draw a flag, because that's something that New York was getting called a lot for in London, is Sauce Gardner is finally getting flagged for the holding that he commits on almost every play. I think it's time for the Bills to take some chances, get a little bit more aggressive, let Allen loose on a weekly basis, but do it right. Because that was the problem against Houston. There was a lot of vertical concepts, and that's when Sugar High Josh came out. He was just trying to throw these vert concepts. You need to have something a little bit more put together for him. If players aren't getting open on the vertical concepts, there's a reason for that. Because they're not separators at the deep level. That means you need scheme to help you. But the leading receiver so far in any of these games has either been Keon Coleman or Khalil Shakir. They need Shakir back, especially against the Jets defense, because that's going to be a tough one. But if you allow the New York Jets, the honest to goodness, never take them seriously until they prove something, New York Jets, if you allow them to get a step on the inside track from you here in the division, just don't let them do it, because that's annoying. The last thing I need is for the media to say something about the Jets being just fine and that they're back because they beat the Buffalo Bills in an ugly football game. They're frauds that can't even win against an easy start of their schedule. The Bills need to prove that they are a team to beat for the division, and they need to do it on Monday night. It does matter. And why does it matter? Well, we'll go around the league coming up next and break it all down for you as Sports Talk Saturday rolls on right here on WGR.
One on the play clock. Here's the snap. Back to pass, and it's complete to Coleman. Gets away from the tackler. 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, and he somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. 49 yards. The rookie sticks it in the end zone.
Chris Brown on the call. Keon Coleman with the touchdown that brought the Bills back to life against Houston. Ultimately, they would fall, though, to the Texans. 23-20. In a game that left a bit of a sour taste in everyone's mouths. You know, that was a game that they did not play amongst their best, but they still had an opportunity to win that game, and they did not. And it kind of brought back a lot of the does the coach have it in big moments against good teams thing. And you know what? That's a conversation for a later day. I feel like there's enough going on that I don't need to put too much time and energy into something that we don't need to worry about, which is, well, they're not going to do anything about the head coach right now. Not for a while. Like, the Jets just fired Robert Saleh. Yeah, and? Bills are never going to fire Sean McDermott in season. No way. He has way too good of a track record at this point to be given that indignance. So we don't need to worry about that. And if the Bills tank throughout this year, or like the season goes downhill, how much of it do you put on the head coach and how much do you put it on the general manager in that way anyway? So we don't need to worry about that discussion. It shouldn't be at the forefront of anyone's minds right now. There's enough that this team has to worry about, particularly Jets on Monday night. But what's the rest of the what's your Sunday looking like here? Well, we're here to help you out with that. Well, it starts at 9:30 again. We've got football in London. That's the worst English accent I'm ever going to give you. You're welcome. But it's Jacksonville against Chicago. Oh, hey, the Jaguars are in London again.
In London for 2 weeks.
They, seriously, what do they do?
I don't think they get paid to go there.
No, yeah, they do. It's just, why them? Is it because
Probably
they're
because
bad?
They were the only team that would that said yes to it.
I don't know. But anyway, Chicago against Jacksonville. This game almost got our wonderful trombones, but there's no way you start a segment like that. I mean, it's way too aggressive. But then again, so is the Bears and the Jaguars at 9:30 for your televisions. If you have fantasy roster relevant players, well, make sure they're in. But I don't know. This game doesn't seem like one that I'm going to want to wake up and, like, first thing in the morning, make sure that I'm ready to go. Like, I don't have to be here tomorrow, so I'm not required to watch this game. So I'm not going to wake up just to watch this game early on in the day. Like, oh, but it's football. Yeah, but is it? Is it good football? No. Not really. Like, it's okay. We don't have to, like, I don't have to watch that. That's perfectly fine. I don't need to worry about the Jaguars and the Bears. Arizona and Green Bay. This one should be at least a little bit more fun. The Cardinals have been struggling to chalk together wins, but they do look good doing it. They're at least an entertaining product out there with Kyler Murray. And they did get themselves back into the win column against San Fran of all teams. If they can go ahead and put it together, get themselves a 3-3, Arizona might have themselves a fancy little time right now with the NFC West, especially having beaten the 49ers. Getting to 3-3, which is currently what the top of the division has for you right now, is essential there. Seattle has lost three straight after starting out unbeaten. San Fran has been injured to hell and back. and it continues for them. So this is an opportunity then for Arizona to try to stake their claim to the division. The NFC West looks like it's going to be a track meet throughout the rest of the year. A lot of these divisions do seem tightly contested, except for, of course, the AFC West and the Kansas City Chiefs. Why do we, what did we do to deserve this? Like everyone, like as a country, what did we do? I don't know what we did to deserve it. But the good news is you don't have to watch the Chiefs this week because they're on bye week. That's nice. Meanwhile, there's probably some bad football about to be played. I thought I was going to do this with Pittsburgh and Las Vegas, but no, I'm going with Indianapolis and Tennessee. And part of it has to do with my, at this point, known hatred for the Titans. Will Levis expected to be back. You know what that means. That means we're going to get bad decisions, baby. Will Levis is tied with Patrick Mahomes for the lead in interceptions. What the hell? Anyway, Levis is the most entertaining thing, but it doesn't mean that it's good. I'm at least going to have fun watching him turn himself into a meme again because he's done it to open the season three straight weeks with like some mind-numbingly bad play. And Indianapolis continues to just be there. They have a good defense, though. It's just Joe Flacco has been playing more than Anthony Richardson, and Richardson keeps getting hurt, and he's out of the lineup. He might play in this game. It just, it's tough to gauge the Colts because you don't ever get them at what they want to present themselves as. Oh, and Jonathan Taylor is out. So that doesn't help the Colts either.
Man, Michael Pittman Jr. is questionable.
By the way, Richardson is set to play. So he doesn't have Taylor. He doesn't have Pittman. This one might actually be the clunker. I might have been right on that. Moving on. I mean, here's a blowout waiting to happen. Houston against New England. I mean, look, Houston struggled against the Bills in the second half. But this is New England. They are a roster that is not ready for anything right now. And they're trotting out Drake May for the first game, for the first start of his career. And they're going up against the Houston Texans. With D'Amico Ryans' defense, there is not a way that you can go ahead and conceivably think that this is going to go New England's way. That it, like, it's just not a good idea to trot him out now. But at some point, it had to be done. Jacoby Brissett is who he is at this point, and he's never going to do anything more for you. So why not give May the time that he is ready to go ahead and get in there, get the reps, and get going? Well, here you go. There's your chance, Rook. Try not to get smacked around too much out there. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, the NFC South, remember, it is a weird division. It stays a weird division. And this year is no different. The Falcons and Buccaneers are currently sitting at the top of it at 3-2 apiece. New Orleans at 2-3, so one game off. This is a chance for New Orleans to kind of right the ship a little bit after losing three straight games. And they need to do it because they looked so dominant in weeks 1 and 2, one of them against Carolina, of course. But in the second week, they took Dallas and they just embarrassed the Cowboys. Ever since then, though, things have not looked good. Oh, but the problem with the Saints is you don't have your starting quarterback. Derek Carr is out. Sad time, sad trombone, not trombone champ, but sad trombone for you. Spencer Rattler is going to go ahead and get this start here. So you've got a rookie quarterback coming in against Tampa Bay, and Baker Mayfield, I mean, he's Baker Mayfield. He is a good quarterback. He is someone that should be consistent enough to help you win against the Saints. Cleveland against Philadelphia. The unwillingly moving object versus the very breakable wall. The Browns can't get anything right on offense. Their quarterback stinks. And yet the Eagles are here giving up big play after big play in the secondary almost on a weekly basis. Which one of these things is going to break first? Well, honestly, I think it's the Browns. Because Deshaun Watson is awful. You hate to see it. Oh, no. Oh, man. Not Deshaun Watson, right? Couldn't have happened to a worse person. No, it could not have happened to a worse person. You're right.
That's the key in the phrasing here. It could not have happened to a worse person, because he's terrible as a person. I think the Eagles should be able to win this game and right the ship for them a little bit as well. Philadelphia is looking up at two teams here. Dallas and the leading division Commanders, who are in Baltimore, by the way, to take on the Ravens. This one should be a tough test here for Jaden Daniels. He's had his way with his offense so far through the first 5 weeks of the season.
He might be the best quarterback in the NFC, Jaden Daniels.
That's a sorry state for the conference.
Right.
But he's definitely the best rookie quarterback of this group. However, he's going to be taking on a tough Baltimore defense that really does manage to make things hard for a lot of teams. Most famously, Buffalo a couple weeks ago. Cincinnati was able to get through to them a little bit, but they beat the Bengals, putting Cincinnati really in a very precarious position. The Chargers and the Broncos. Denver is 3-2. Can someone tell me how the hell this happened? The Broncos are in second place in the AFC West. Mostly it has to do with great defensive play by the Broncos. The Chargers are the biggest case of low event football. They're among one of the worst teams in scoring. Actually, I think they're the worst team in scoring. Second worst. Third worst. Thanks, Miami and New England. The Chargers only have 68 points this year. They have also only played 4 games. There is the stipulation there. However, they've also only allowed 50 points. Nothing happens when you play the Los Angeles Chargers. Nothing cool happens. Thank you, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman. Once again, the patron saints of boring. Surprise Jeremy White. There we go. We got all the faces here today. We had Howard. We talked to Nate. Jeremy's here. Grabbing something. Taking off. As he sees me like lounging back in his chair. I'm so unprofessional. Pittsburgh,
but that's
Las Vegas.
What we love about you.
Yeah, I guess so. Pittsburgh and Las Vegas. This game also could be bad because the Steelers don't really have this thing called offense, but they have a great defense that makes sure that nobody else has offense. I mentioned how the Chargers, nothing happens. Well, the Steelers are kind of the same way. They are a little bit better, I think, with Justin Fields there under center. They do at least move the football in entertaining ways. And the Raiders are unfortunately going through another one of those seasons for them. Either team can win this game because Pittsburgh doesn't know how to get out of their own way when it comes to the offense. And they're kind of like crashing back down to earth after a hot start in the standings. This is going to be a tough game here, but one that I don't know a lot of people should watch or be subjected into watching. The 4 o'clock games are kind of disappointing in the AFC. It's Los Angeles, Denver, where again, I mentioned points just don't happen in Chargers games. And then Pittsburgh and Las Vegas, another game that could be a defensive standstill because Pittsburgh's so good on defense and yet so bad on offense. Not so bad, but not great. Detroit and Dallas, though, this one should be a haymaker of sorts. See if the Lions can get a nice little quote-unquote revenge for last year's loss late in the regular season that cost them a higher seed. Again, Detroit should be able to roll, but they're not 100% when it comes to productivity so far this season. That said, Dallas is a paper tiger. Anytime a good team shows up against you, the Cowboys seem to fold. So Detroit should be able to take this one handily here. Atlanta and Carolina, AFC South matchup here. The Falcons trying to keep strong here after Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards the other night, or last week, I should say. Kirk Cousins. You think it's funny. Cousins and Rodgers both having those Achilles tears. Kirk Cousins looks like he's been fairly comfortable. It's because he also doesn't really move around a whole heck of a lot. And
he's not also 40.
He's also not 40. But you look at the two injuries and you think, okay, well, they're both starting slow. Cousins has kind of woken up a little bit. And now you get a Carolina Panthers team that just refuses to be good. But no, Kirk Cousins, it's fun watching him play right now. 1,300 yards passing. He has been, well, kind of like your same old Kirk. He'll probably collapse for you in the big moments. But right now, let's have some fun with it, including against Carolina here, 4:30 game. That one also on Fox. All right, Sunday Night Football, it's the New York Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals. Holy.
Woof.
You want to talk about two teams that are failing their expectations right now? It is these two teams.
And no Malik Nabers in this game, I don't believe.
No Nabers in this game. However, this is a good matchup for them to not have him. Why? Because the Bengals' defense is awful. Daniel Jones can try to keep helping stabilize his game. And why not do it against the Bengals? The Bengals have been notoriously so slow starters here, but now you've hit 1-4. You're probably dead in the water this season unless things turn around. And if you lose here to go to 1-5, you're not a serious contender at this point this year. You're done. So this is a must-win for the Bengals to at least stay afloat in what they can try to salvage for a wild card spot. Because the seventh seed is mediocrity defined. But that said, Cincinnati cannot get to 1-5. It's an impossible task at that point. Like, who cares about the rest of your schedule? You can't win against, like, the Browns often enough. They have a problem with Cleveland. You need this game, if you're Cincinnati, in order to at least stay alive in the wild card hunt. All right. Well, you've heard enough from me, okay? I think that's been universally spoken. So I've got good news for you. Coming out of this break, we will hear from head coach Sean McDermott as he spoke to the media earlier today. We'll give you that, including lineup news and anything else that the media has asked the Bills head coach heading into Monday night's game against the New York Jets. We'll be right back with head coach Sean McDermott here on the other side of Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Be the last you hear from me today because, well, we're going to get to head coach Sean McDermott as he spoke with the media earlier today. So, thank you to my guests. Howard Simon with a wholesome bant to start the show. Bruce Nolan from the Bruce Exclusive joined us in the first hour as well. Paul Hamilton joined us in hour number two. And then we got a surprise guest phone call with Nate Geary here in hour number three. By the way, just real quick to get connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I did mention today, you know, like, what's a good way that you disconnect when the teams are playing awful? Chuck tweeted in, I go out into the woods and sit in the tree stand. No weapon. I just sit there and just watch the animals. I like that, Chuck. That's pretty nice. Just admire nature a little bit there. So if they're irritating you, take a moment. Step out. Enjoy the oxygen. Not even going to say this in like an insulting way. Touch grass. Have fun. Do something. Disconnect in a healthy way if the teams are irritating you. Because we're here in Buffalo. It's going to happen. All right. With that wholesome advice, here's head coach Sean McDermott.
Boys, Sabres tonight. Yeah. Excited. Good Saturday morning, right? He had that earlier in the week. He had that earlier in the week, though, right? Yeah. Don't think I didn't notice. All right, so injury update here for you. Ed Oliver will not practice today, out for the game. The rest of the guys that you probably have in your minds, Khalil, James Cook, Taron Johnson, Austin Johnson, will all be questionable and limited today in some fashion, and we'll just see how it goes today at practice. Time's yours.
With Ed, I know we haven't seen him since the second string. Is there any concern that he might need to go to injured reserve with this?
That seems to be the question, your guys' favorite question this year. It's every year, different every year trends, right? I don't think so, Joe. It's a fair question. I don't think so. I think he is trending in the right direction. So, I mean, hamstrings are usually, you know, more than 1 week to your question. And so, but I think I'm hopeful for next week. We just have to see.
Limited today and questionable. Are you looking for specific things? I know that's a big group, but yeah. Like specific things today with just one practice. Like, what I guess will you need? Like, where are they all?
I mean, most of those are like extremity injuries. So I'm looking for really how well they can function at practice today in order for them to be able to do the job on Monday night.
I'm going to ask about Jeff Aldrich and just your familiarity with him, knowing he's been with the Jets for a while, but just what do you make of Jeff and what he's been able to do and what you might expect on Monday with him on defense and as a head coach?
Yeah, you know, a lot of respect for him as a player years ago, and then also a lot of respect for him as a coach and what he's done with that defense. So, you know, we can't control, you know, anything really other than that. And we go in there and try and execute and play our best game. And that's all we can do. Really, that's where we're at, and we look forward to the challenge.
And he's upgraded. He's named Todd Downing to take over the play calling and offense.
Yeah.
What changes might you expect? And you've been familiar with Todd, having played the Titans for a few times back.
Yeah, he was there. He was at Oakland years ago in 2017 when Oakland came here. And then both years in Tennessee that he called the plays there as well. So respect for Todd as well, and a good coach. He's been in the league for some time, and he's had success. So, you know, we're doing our best that we can to adjust to that best we can leading into the game, and then we'll have to adjust early in the game as well.
Collins and Curtis Samuel, they were limited the last couple of days. Or what is their outlook for the game?
Yeah, I think they're full or as close to full as possible. They should be good to go for the game.
What have you seen Dorian Williams so far this season?
Growth, development, and you know, really, I thought when Milano went down, Dorian, it may not have been, you know, that day, but in the days after, Dorian really started to grow and evolve. And, I think he just really, really took a deep breath and relaxed a little bit and started to, just see the field, see the game a little bit more clear at that point. And he just continues to grow and develop every week. I mean, the experience factor is real.
Dwayne Carter's growth earlier this week. What have you seen out of him just as a person, though? Like, what is he like around meetings in the locker room?
Yeah, very aware young man. I mean, he was a Duke student at Duke, so that speaks for itself to some extent, and highly intelligent person.
I went to Carolina.
Yeah, well, you know, all the people from, no. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great school. So you kind of come with what you're around on a day-to-day basis, right? At schools like UNC, Duke, and there's more beyond that. So he was there for a reason, not just football, but you can tell he's an aware, intelligent young man, and he's also seemingly aware of what it takes to be good at something, not just football, but life in general. And I think those life skills are important because they factor into becoming a good and successful football player.
Talking to some of his coaches at both high school and college level, they mentioned how he balanced kind of, you know, being a young guy and absorbing stuff from older players, but then also he'll become a leader really fast. Have you seen that start to happen yet, or is that still a little too early?
Well, I saw flashes of it last week when he was forced into a starting role last week. You know, you saw him early in the game make a big time play on a screen, and you could just see the energy, the juice, and like seemed very comfortable in that moment, in that role, which is, I mean, five games in, I think it was game five, right? So five games in as a rookie to take on that type of role as a starter. I think that was impressive for him to be able to handle that situation.
And what you've seen from DeMar as a starter, like how he's progressed and how that's been going through five games.
Yeah, again, the development. Again, credit the coaches for that, and DeMar in this case as well. You know, what's probably improved more than anything has been his consistency, playing and play out. So, and then game to game. So that's really where he's at this point.